We trust that you are receiving a blessing from our study in the Gospel of Matthew, particularly this section in which the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to his disciples, reminded them of certain things against which they would have to take a stand, about which they would have to be on their guard. And of course, those things which he said to the disciples, as we have pointed out to you, apply to us as servants of our Lord Jesus Christ in this age. We have been thinking for several studies about the paragraph in the 23rd chapter of the Gospel of Matthew that begins with verse 8 and concludes with verse 12. And in order that we might all be thinking along the same line, and that we might have this passage fresh on our minds, we read it once again. "But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your Master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren." Now, as we have studied that verse, we have found that the word Rabbi and the word Master are from the same Greek word, and they may be interpreted teacher. So we might read this verse, "But be not ye called Masters, for one is your Master, even Christ." And there is the reason why, that you and I must not say that we are the sole authority for information concerning the things of God. We must not seek that exalted position. Yes, we exercise our gift of teaching, but we do not seek that exalted position of leaving people with the impression that we are the sole authority. And there's one simple reason for that here in this first verse, and that is there is but one final authority about the things of God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, in this verse, as we've just read, the other reason that we must not seek to be called masters is that all of us are brethren. That is, we're all on the same footing before Christ. And we have, all of us, the greatest teacher of all, the Holy Spirit. He, residing in our hearts, is able to guide us into all truth. Now, in verse 10, we read, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven." And we learn that we must not look upon any one individual as the source of spiritual life, for the only source of spiritual life is our Heavenly Father. The word Father refers to the source of life. Don't say anybody is the source of spiritual life. There's only one source of life, and that source is God. Now, today we want to think with you about what is recorded in the remaining verses of the paragraph. "Neither be ye called masters, for one is your Master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Notice again the words, "Neither be ye called masters, for one is your Master, even Christ." Someone says, "Now wait a moment, aren't we just saying the same thing? Didn't we talk about that in verse 7? No, here it's an entirely different subject. "Refuse," said the Lord Jesus Christ, "to be called master by anyone." Notice that word master, and let me point out to you that it is a translation of a different word than that which we have been thinking about. This word is the translation of the Greek word kathegetes, which is used only twice in the New Testament, and both of those places are right here. And this particular word kathegetes is translated by the word guide. Interesting, isn't it? "Refuse," said the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples, "to be called master." "Refuse," said the Lord Jesus Christ literally, "to be called a guide." "Refuse to recognize yourself as a spiritual guide for anyone, and don't let anyone depend upon you as a spiritual guide." Well, this may deflate some of us, because I suspect that nearly all of us have thought we were guides to individuals. The Lord Jesus Christ, you'll recall, condemned the Jews for this inflated idea they had of themselves in this very area. In Romans chapter 2, verse 19, he said to these Jews, your guidance is blind. Ye are blind guides leading the blind. Now listen to me carefully. If you accept the responsibility of offering spiritual guidance to any individual on the basis of your human instrumentality, your guidance can be described in just this way. You are a blind guide leading the blind. Well, a very natural question is, well, what are we to do? Are we just to ignore the needs of individuals? Just say, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I don't know. No. The reason that you should not be expected to guide any individual, that is, that you not should not assume the responsibility of spiritual guide to any individual, is found in verse 10. It's clearly stated there. Remember, we read it. Neither be ye called masters, that is, neither be ye called spiritual guides. For one is your master, that is, one is your spiritual guide, even Christ. The reason that we must not assume that we are spiritual guides or that we have the responsibility, Christ is the only spiritual guide there is. Instead of assuming the responsibility of guiding individuals, we should point them to Christ and say to them, Christ is the only one who can guide you. A real indication of honest humility on our part would be to say to anyone that comes to us for spiritual guidance, I can't guide you. Why, if I were to guide you, you would fall into the ditch. I can't help you. And immediately they might say, oh my, I thought you could. And then you could say, but wait, well, wait a moment, I can't guide you. But there is one who can, the Lord Jesus Christ. Call to mind what is recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 13. You see, the disciples wanted to just hold on forever to the physical Christ. They were afraid to walk without his guidance. And he said, I'm not going to stay. I can't stay. I've got other things to do. Someone among them, as among us, might say, but I need your guidance, and you've always been with us to show us where to go and what to do. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm not going to stay with you. But don't be afraid, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, one just like myself. And when he, the Spirit, is truth of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear shall he speak. For he will show you things to come. Notice in the middle of the verse, he shall not speak of himself. Now that does not mean that the Holy Spirit will never make any reference to himself. The Holy Spirit, may I remind you, exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, he does speak of himself when there is a need. But may I suggest to you that the Lord Jesus Christ said the Holy Spirit would be speaking on the authority of Christ himself. The Lord Jesus knew that his disciples, and you and I who are his disciples, would find a great temptation to seek places of authority and importance. We would have a temptation to be called master in the sense of being a guide to spiritual life. And he wanted to warn us against that, because we unconsciously fall into the habit of taking credit for spiritual victories in other lives. And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ does not have the glory when that sort of thing occurs. The Lord Jesus Christ closed his message to the multitudes and the disciples with the very interesting words which have become familiar to us when he said, he that is greatest among you will be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Here is a little threefold formula for the life of the servant of God that is pleasing to the Savior. And I have summarized it in this way. Greatness is realized in service. You want to be great? Then be a servant. Greatness is realized in service. The second thing is that exaltation results in abasement. God said the first thing of seven things that he hates is pride. And so he has laid down a principle here that if men exalt themselves, God will so arrange their lives that eventually they will be abased. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I think that most of us slip into the attitude of pride and exaltation without thinking about it. And God, of course, cannot permit anybody to have the glory that belongs to him. Well, there is the third ingredient of this formula of which I speak, and that is humiliation or humbleness results in exaltation. Here is a formula that cannot be denied. If you want to be exalted, that is, not if you desire it with that determination that no matter what you will be, if you want to be exalted, then humble yourself and leave the advancement to God, remembering that God has said in his precious word that promotion cometh not from the east or from the west, but it comes from God himself. Here are several things in this paragraph, verses 1 through 12 of Matthew chapter 23, that would stand us in good stead as servants of the Lord. May we make an effort to follow through and be the kind of servants that God would have us be, that will bring the greatest glory to the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.